Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
During the past 10 years, the Small Business Advocate has become the major source of information for the small business community.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. My pleasure. It's like a dream come true for me to be able to spend some time with you and to kick off our next decade of the Small Business Advocate Show. And we're doing it with a brand new friend, Dr. John Christie. Ladies and gentlemen, he's a very interesting guy. You're going to be glad we found this guy, because he's going to have some very important things to tell you and me about this whole global warming debate. He's professor of atmospheric science and the director of the Earth System Science Center at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. And he's also a member. Now, folks, pay attention to this title, because you'll remember it. You'll wonder how you remember it, but I'll tell you. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change at the UN. Now, what you probably may have remembered is that's the group, that intergovernmental panel from the UN, that was the co-winner, along with Al Gore, of this year's Peace Prize because of their work on the global warming issue. And he's our guest right now, Dr. John Christie. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Okay. How surprised were you to find out that this panel that you, of which, and by the way, if I'm not mistaken now, you're the lead author, were the lead author in 01 for the UN's reports on global change. Is that right?
Yes, there were a number of lead authors, and in the 01 report, I was one. This time around, I was a contributing author to a couple of the sections.
Okay, so how surprised were you to learn? I'm going to ask you about a couple of surprises. Number one, how surprised were you to learn that this panel, to which you contributed, was a Nobel Prize winner?
Well, that it won the half of the Nobel Prize was not too much of a surprise, in the sense that this is more a political prize, and so it likes to highlight things that the elite of Northern Europe want to see the world do. So you've got to, you know, weigh that as part of the reason some prizes are awarded.
It's the political football of the array of Nobel Prizes that are available, isn't it?
Yes, it's certainly the most political. In the science world, you know, they like to wait 20 years or so to see that your discovery stands the test of time. But in the Peace Prize case, here is someone, for example, Al Gore won the other half, who has had, as far as I can tell, no effect on the emissions of atmospheric carbon dioxide at all, except maybe he adds to them.
Hey, yeah, he's a contributor to you're a contributor to the panel. He's a contributor to our emissions.
That's right.
So you weren't surprised that global warming was an issue and that it was awarded. What about the work of this panel? Did you think that the work of the in general is the work of the panel in sync with Al Gore and in sync with some of the political agendas of the Nobel Committee?
Well, I think some of the louder mouthpieces of the IPCC are certainly in sync with Al Gore. They want to dramatize and speculate about what the worst situation that might occur, and then it's always comforting to them to have someone to blame for that, and so they blame people who like to live long lives and live in health and security.
Especially American people.
Especially American people. Even though, if you look on average, the average American person produces more per unit of energy than the rest of the world.
Thank you.
On average.
Thank you. Folks, where have you heard that said before? Who have you heard say that before? Yes, it was me. And I've been saying this for a long time, and I want to get into that in a minute, Dr. Christie. But now, there were approximately 1,000, and folks, I think this is important for you to understand. When you hear about these awards being given, Dr. Christie, you were one of about 1,000 contributors to this panel, right?
Well, I'd say about 1 in 5,000.
Oh, okay. So your check, your part of the Nobel Peace Prize check is going to be tiny. Will you be able to maybe go to lunch or something on that money?
That's about it, but I don't even suspect that's going to come.
You're not waiting on the check, is that what you're saying?
That's right.
Where's that money going to go?
I imagine it will go to the bureaucratic organization that's headquartered in Switzerland.
It'll be sucked up over there, yeah. Okay. Now, you are somewhat of a detractor of Al Gore's position on the global warming issue. What is your position with regard to his movie? What do you think about the movie that he made?
Well, I don't think much of the movie. It was a propaganda piece. It wasn't a scientific movie, and the reason I probably stand opposite Al Gore in a number of things is because I'm actually a climate scientist who actually builds these climate data sets from scratch, and we just don't see the catastrophe developing here.
How many of the 1,000 or 5,000 or however many contributors do you think fit into your camp, and how many are on Al Gore's side?
Oh, I'd say the great majority would be closer to Al Gore than to me, but also know that the great majority of those people are not climate scientists. They have other kind of activities. Most are appointed by their own governments. There are environmental advocates in that crowd. So it's a mixed bag to say something about all the authorship. It's quite a range.
All right, let's get some science out on the table. What is your, in your position, in your opinion, in your research that you've done? Not your opinion, because you're a scientist. You don't voice your opinions. You find the data and you report on the data. What does your data show with regard to global warming?
Okay, the way we say that is the evidence indicates, and the evidence indicates that the temperature of the globe is not warming at a dramatic rate. It is warming, and it appears that some of that warming is due to the extra carbon dioxide we put in the atmosphere, but it's not the catastrophic situation that is being promoted by everyone's favorite people.
Well, and I'm not a scientist, Dr. Christie. I'm an editorialist. I don't have to get it right. I just have to get it close. And in my opinion, which I get to have, I tell people that yes, the Earth is warming. 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under 5,000 feet of ice, and there were two elephants roaming there. So yes, the Earth is warming. I mean, what's the big news?
Well, I think you have to go back further than 10,000 years ago. 10,000 years ago, we're just coming out of that last ice age.
But it was. Yeah, go ahead.
And so then it was warmer about 8,000 to 4,000 years ago. In fact, but here's a little piece of information. And this is published, is that Alabama has actually seen declining temperatures in the past 115 years. So even though you look at the global average has gone up a little bit, right here in Alabama, we've actually seen a decline in temperatures, even with this hot summer.
Very interesting. Yeah, you got to take the long view, which Dr. John Christie, a scientist, a climate scientist, does, which Al Gore does not. Dr. John Christie and I will be right back. When we come back, I'm going to ask Dr. Christie, what does all this mean for small business owners? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jim. This is Annabelle Dodd, author of The Essential Guide to Telecommunications. Congratulations on 10 years of having fun.
Does the time bell ring? We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our new friend, Dr. John Christie, Professor of Atmospheric Science and Director of the Earth System Science Center, at the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Dr. Christie, why don't you give us the website where we can find out more about what you guys do?
Well, our website is at the University of Alabama in Huntsville, and I believe it's www.nssst.uah.edu/atmos/.
We got to find you a better URL there. Nobody's going to write that down.
Search on the web for my name, and it'll come up somewhere.
There you go. Dr. John Christie with a Y, ladies and gentlemen. You can find out all about him. We got to get you a more compact URL there. Dr. Christie, one of the first public policy issues I covered back in '97, when I first started doing my radio show, was the Kyoto Accords, and it didn't take me long to realize that the Kyoto Accords wasn't about global warming at all. It wasn't about lowering emissions at all. It was completely structured to reduce the competitiveness of the United States. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
Well, that certainly was one of the outcomes, and a number of evidences are available. It was trying to make our energy more expensive so that the Europeans really could have a better competitive situation. But
has anything changed in the meantime?
Probably not, except that the Europeans were not able to meet their goals that they even set for themselves.
Right, right. And they basically bailed on the Kyoto themselves, didn't they?
As a group, yes.
Yes. So, folks, back when 10 years ago, when I was telling you that Kyoto was a bad deal for us, turns out I was right. And that there was a lot of disingenuousness going on out there with regard to the whole program, turns out I was right. Now, Dr. Christie, I believe, as you've indicated with your research, that the Earth probably is warming, and I believe that we may be contributing to that. And I think that there are some things that we probably ought to do to change that. For one thing, I think the United States should get as independent from petroleum as possible, so we don't have to depend on dummies like the people in like Ahmadinejad in Iran. But I don't think we need to wreck our economy to make that happen.
All right, I think you're talking about the real economic issues of energy stability and security and keeping money within your country to supply, you know, jobs and strength that way.
Yep.
And there are a lot of things that can be done. For example, nuclear power. When you talk about the energy use we have, you need to talk about nuclear because that's at the level that can actually make a dent, as I said in the Wall Street Journal article.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, and it has proven, nuclear power has been proven to be the safest form of energy in democratically accountable nations.
Right, meaning nations where we can protect the fuel itself.
That's right.
Yeah,
and not only that, we have the raw fuel right here in this country too.
Right. So Three Mile Island pretty much put the kibosh on nuclear around here, didn't it? 30 years ago.
That's right. A situation in which no one was killed, and there really wasn't any kind of environmental damage as a result of that, and yet
right.
it gave us the scary scenario.
Yep. And we backslid an awful long time. Do you see that turning around?
Oh, yes, in the nuclear world especially. I think because it touches so many other positive things. It might make a little bit of dent in the climate issue, but that's probably a good thing, but it really makes a dent in the things that people care about, and that is, will they have energy for their jobs and for their small businesses, and can
right.
they afford it? The other path of making energy more expensive and thereby reducing its consumption is just not a path to economic development.
Well, that's exactly right. And to try to take our emissions back to 1990 standards, in 1990, our GDP was $6 trillion. Today, it's approaching $13 trillion. It's doubled in 17 years. And Dr. Christie, per dollar of GDP, the United States uses less petroleum. Am I correct in saying that we produce less carbon emissions per dollar of output than we did 17 years ago?
Yeah, well, the numbers are something like this, that we produce 21% of the world's CO2 emissions, yet we produce 28% of the world's stuff. So we are more efficient than the average of the rest of the world.
And we're getting more efficient every year, aren't we?
Oh, yes, because in a market economy, a free economy like the United States, energy is a cost, and so that's something you always try to work down, and that's the way we adapt as a market economy.
And what irritates me about this whole Al Gore Nobel Prize thing, Dr. Christie, is nobody is giving the marketplace, the businesses, the business owners, the small business owners, credit for what they've done the last 17 years to hold down emissions per dollar of GDP.
Right, because that small businessman is looking at his bottom line every
that's
month,
right.
and he doesn't like to write that utility bill. If he can make it lower, he's going to work very hard and he is incentivized to make
right.
that go lower.
Well, and also the people who make the technologies that are more efficient, like the new furnaces and the new equipment that are a lot more efficient. So
yeah.
there's so many things out there. Dr. Christie, we've just run out of time, and I have so many other questions to ask you and so many more things I want you to help us with to understand this. Will you come back another day?
Sure.
We'd enjoy
no
having
problem.
You. Congratulations on your Nobel Prize anyway, though.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Dr. John Christie, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back, I promise. We've got to take a quick break. Right back with our good friend Steve Del Bianco right after these messages. Stay with us.
The
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.